Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. And today we're going to be talking about two tech giants squaring off in a battle for the future of video gaming. But before we do any of that, I want to say, remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcasts@zacks.com. Also, make sure to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. So today, we're going to be talking about Microsoft and Google parent Alphabet, which are two of the largest companies in the world, and they're jumping into cloud video gaming. But before we do that, I want to just give a quick rundown of where the stocks have been this year. So shares of Microsoft, with trading under the ticker MSFT, are up roughly 30% in 2019. The firm is currently the most valuable public company in the world with a market cap of just over $1 trillion. That's more than Apple and Amazon. And meanwhile, Google, which is trading under the ticker G-O-O-G-L and then also G-O-O-G, is at roughly $753 billion in market cap and is up around 4% this year. But in fact, shares are down 7% over the last month. And some of this is coming as investors become increasingly worried that U.S. government regulators are going to crack down on these tech companies, specifically Facebook and Google, for their outsized control over the spread of information, among some other things. But I don't want to get into that today. We're not going to talk about any of that. In fact, we're just going to talk about their gaming futures in that cloud world that I talked about. So we're going to start with Google. So after years of rumors and speculation, Google officially detailed plans to enter the video game business earlier this year and then dove into more details during last week's E3 conference, which is very video game heavy. So those plans are now, here's what we know basically. So the new service is going to be called Stadia. Google's CEO said that it's going to offer blockbuster games that you can run on any device, from smartphones to tablets to laptops to TVs. Basically, anything you can use a Chrome browser for, that's going to be able to do that. You need a Chromecast as well. It's streaming gaming or cloud streaming gaming, no consoles. The console market is where a lot of gamers play today, console and PC, but this is the promise of no console. That's what Google is selling. So this is what people have talked about over the last year. Fortnite, Overwatch, some of the biggest games are really online only. In fact, digital sales have outpaced physical disc sales since 2013, and Stadia is going to launch in early November, or November in general, at $129 for a founder's pack, and then it's slowly going to roll out in 2020 to more people, so enough people who sign up for this are going to be able to get that. So you're going to get, for that, you're going to get a controller, and then you're also going to get some more. You're going to get access to their package as well, where you buy these games. So the basic idea, the simplest term, is that Stadia is going to do what Netflix and Amazon Prime have done for TV and film. But it's a little more complicated than that, and it's not as straightforward as, oh, I pay $15 a month and then I can have access to everything that's on Netflix and everything that's on Amazon Prime. It's not that simple. So you're going to get, as I said, you're going to get a controller, and then it looks kind of similar to an Xbox One controller mixed with a PlayStation 4 controller. A couple differences: there's Wi-Fi built into the controller, which is going to kind of play a big role in what the company is promising that Stadia will be able to do. And then there's also a capture button that allows you to upload your gameplay directly to YouTube. And then there's a Google Assistant button as well, where you can ask Google's Assistant questions. But that doesn't really matter. Google is promising that its service will stream games in 4K at 60 frames per second. They're offering some big games right away: Doom Eternal, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, some other games as well from Tom Clancy's titles and more. But it's a little unclear exactly what this is going to look like. They've been working with various game developers, and the promise is that you will be able to use this controller with your Chromecast, play these games wherever you want, streaming with nothing else. They're also promising some cross-play with games from PlayStation and Xbox for this multiplayer world. That's kind of where people see the video game world going. And then you pay a monthly fee. You get some games that come with that as long as you keep your subscription. And then you get discounts on game purchases. So as I mentioned before, it's not exactly Netflix. It's you pay a subscription, then you get a discount on buying the game. It's not like all of a sudden if you... People are paying $60 for the new Madden game. So you can't just get this subscription. Not saying that Madden's going to be on this, but you can't just get this subscription and then only pay $10 a month and have brand new Madden. So you still have to pay for these big titles, which is something that's really never going to go away because so much money is being spent on making these games. It would be kind of hard to think that all of a sudden they're just going to be access to everything for $10 a month. So we'll see where that goes. And as I mentioned, November is going to be the rollout of a smaller version of this in the US and Canada, the UK and some other countries. And then the Stadia Basic version is going to be available for free in 2020. February 2020 is what we have out there now. It's unclear exactly when this will take place, if it's going to actually roll out in November. No one knows until it actually happens. It's important to note that there is also a lot of skepticism. I was reading a lot of stuff over the weekend from gaming websites. I'm not as locked into the video game world in the sense of I don't play video games. So I want to know what the sense was of what confidence level people have in this Google Stadia cloud gaming. So as I mentioned, it seems to be a lot of skepticism that people are saying the gaming community isn't sure what Google will actually be able to deliver, kind of a believe it when we see it. We had some analysts at Baird say they're kind of downbeat on Google's cloud play because it has limited developer support, meaning the platform is not going to have enough games on it. And really, the games are what drive the platforms. If you don't have games for playing, no one's really gonna go up to this. So we'll see what happens here. But as most of you probably know, Google has the time and money to spare on this, and they're definitely gonna try to make this work. The company, for instance, made $36.4 billion last quarter alone. Most of that is coming for advertising. And it'll be important to see if Google can make this Stadia work to have a new revenue stream coming in as possibly some things could shake up with their business model, as we mentioned at the top, because at the moment, most of their revenue is still coming from advertising from their search engine. So we'll see what goes on there. And before I jump into what's going on with Microsoft, it's important just to know how big this overall gaming market is. So the global gaming market reached $135 billion in 2018, according to market research firm Newzoo, and that's up 11% year over year. The mobile gaming portion of that hit $63 billion, PC was at $33 billion, and then console gaming was at $38 billion. So that's how big this market is. People are expecting it to continue to grow. And Google wants to get in with what many people see to be the future of this industry, which is the future of, it seems like, the whole tech world, which is this cloud space. And we will see what happens with its Stadia service. But now we're going to transition to what Microsoft is doing, because they've been a player in the gaming industry for some time now. So Microsoft has been testing its service recently, and it says it will begin publicly testing its video game streaming initiatives in October. It's called Project X Cloud. It dove into a little bit of this at E3 as well. And so it's basically going to let you play Xbox games streaming through your Xbox One X wherever you want, where they showed people playing with an Xbox controller, and then they just had their phone set up on top of it. So it's unclear exactly who their target audience is at the moment for this, because their Xbox head, Xbox executive Phil Spencer, was saying that they're not really targeting people who don't have an Xbox, because then that's not the capability yet. So it's really, he kept saying, we want to give people options, options, options. And they're not really at this place where they're just going to have totally streaming gaming and they don't care about their consoles anymore. So this Project xCloud is going to be sort of an experimental jump into the this cloud gaming space, which people think in the next 5-10 years, maybe even sooner, will be a really big part of this overall gaming market. So yeah, that Project xCloud, it's gonna debut in October. So we'll see what happens there. But on top of Project xCloud, which, as I mentioned, Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, is just saying this is gonna be for our core gamers on PC and console, just to have more options. We'll see where it goes from there. On top of that, the company also showed off its new next generation Xbox, which it's calling Project Scarlet. It's unclear if that's going to be what it's called when it debuts during holiday 2020. So we'll see what happens there. The new gaming system, the new game console, will include partnership with Advanced Micro Devices, AMD. Chips, the head once again was talking about frame rate and just the quality of the gameplay. He's saying that they ensure 120 frames per second at the moment when this launches in holiday 2020. 60 frames per second is somewhat standard to the high end at the moment. Between 30 and 60 is what a lot of these game consoles and game developers are offering in their. He also said, though, this 120 frame per second is high, and they're not going to tell game developers this is what you have to be at. It's just that's going to be the future of what they're hoping it can be at. And then this also comes down to, and I was watching some interviews with the Xbox head this weekend again, was the idea of why people are a little skeptical on Google's service is that streaming in general can be laggy in the sense that you might not have a fast enough internet connection. And as people might know, sometimes your Netflix could be a little delayed depending if your Wi-Fi is spotty at the moment. And that's exactly the opposite of what people who really love video games want. They can't have any delays because that can just cause the whole game to get messed up. So that's when one of the people interviewing Phil Spencer was saying, with this streaming push, it's going to be hard for gamers to know if their connection is good enough to get, say, this 120 frames per second in a streaming environment. And he said, yes, obviously, those things will be dictated. And so a transition to 5G and faster internet speeds will play a big role in all of this going forward, but we're not quite there just yet. So on top of this Project xCloud and Project Scarlet, the company also is going to debut, when Project Scarlet comes out, it's the next generation of Halo franchise. So we'll see if that is able to help there. And then it's also worth noting that on top of all of this more forward-looking Xbox-related stuff, Project xCloud, Project Scarlet, new Halo, more games, the company has also recently partnered with video game rival Sony. So PlayStation will use Microsoft's Azure Cloud service for its game streaming content as they try to push into this nascent world of cloud gaming as well. So no matter what, it seems like Microsoft is going to be able to play a role in the future of cloud gaming, no matter when exactly it gets here, because Microsoft itself has become the second largest cloud player with around 15% market share. That's behind only Amazon's AWS, which has about 30% market share at the moment, and that's ahead of Google, ahead of IBM. And then Microsoft has also recently made partnerships with Oracle's cloud. So that business is really growing at Microsoft, along with its legacy Office built business, Windows, all of that has performed really well. But its cloud business has really driven growth and why so many investors in Wall Street are really upbeat on Microsoft going forward, is this growing cloud business that's going to help them expand their eventual cloud gaming business as their gaming unit grows as well. Because at the moment, the last numbers that were out, Xbox Live has 63 million monthly active users. Microsoft's total gaming revenue for the 12 months that ended through March rose 20% to $11.6 billion. That was outpacing the company's overall growth during that time. But for reference, this is still a smaller portion of the company's overall business. Last quarter alone, Microsoft's revenue was up 14% to $30.6 billion, with Intelligent Cloud up 22% to $9.7 billion just in that quarter. So gaming, a smaller portion than cloud, obviously. But as I've said a couple of times now, Microsoft seems like it's going to be in place to really impact the cloud gaming space no matter where it goes, because they have Xbox. They have a history of video game I don't want to say dominance, but they're a big player in the video game space. They seem to have a lot of different plans, and they're not set on trying to roll out this massive cloud gaming experience early on, where it seems like the industry seems very skeptical about Google's Stadia platform or Stadia cloud streaming gaming service, that it just won't be ready. It won't have enough games. It won't have enough crossplay to really get enough users interested right away, but we'll see. So at the moment, it seems like the consensus within the industry and just how big Microsoft's cloud business is in its history with Xbox, that Microsoft will be the company that at least stands out at the beginning of this cloud gaming future. But it'll be fun to watch this space, because obviously the gaming industry itself is growing, and cloud has become such a buzzword on Wall Street, and it's what every company seems to be having to do, is transition to the cloud going forward. So gaming seems like it'll follow suit sooner than later. So once again, it'll be fun to watch this space grow. And it'll be interesting to see when these companies actually launch these services, what the reception is. So investors should definitely pay attention to Google this November to see what Stadia looks like, and then this Project X Cloud, and going forward, what other companies in this industry are able to do. There's been speculation that Amazon will try to roll out a cloud gaming experience. It'll be weird to see if Nintendo kind of gets left out completely as kind of the third player behind Microsoft and Sony already. So it'll be fun to watch this space. But that does it for this episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.